Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight-up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Happy 2015, everybody. Going to start this year off with the most popular request that I got from the end-of-the-year survey for the podcast. And we're going to have an episode about F2C, or factory-to-consumer. And as always, you can find these show notes on the website at globalfromasia.com/episode66. As some of the products and services mentioned are Chinese names, and you might not be able to hear them clearly when we're talking about them. So as always, I have all the notes and websites and services put on the website. So what is F2C? First of all, it also could be called M2C, which is manufacturer consumer or factory to consumer, but it's another play of the acronyms like C2C, which is consumer to consumer, which is maybe eBay or Taobao, where individuals are listing products for sale and individuals are buying them, or B2C, which is business to consumer, which is a business such as e-commerce websites, or a store, or an established, you know, incorporated business. Maybe could also be on eBay or Amazon selling to the end consumer. But you know, what M2C or F2C is these manufacturers and factories here in China are shipping directly from China to the end consumer, even in Middle America or Europe or other parts of the world globally. So, you know, it's been happening for years, and I've watched it progress when I first came here in China in 2007, and it's gotten more and more popular as shipping has gotten cheaper and logistics has gotten better, and consumers have kind of not even noticed sometimes that it's shipping directly from China. So for this show, I'm interviewing Wilson Blues. He's a local Chinese friend of mine from Chaozhou City, a couple hours away from here in Shenzhen. And he's also an organizer with me at Startup Weekend for many years. And he's a really great guy, very open to share, and I really appreciate it. He's gotten a full-time income doing this, and he's selling on eBay, Amazon, his own websites. That's actually part of a family factory business of sandals. He was a little bit nervous to come on the show because English isn't his first language, but he's awesome. And I think that these experiences and service providers that he mentions, people listening maybe have never heard of or been exposed to. And so I think without further ado, let's just jump in. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have my friend here, Wilson Blues, coming down from Chaozhou in China. Thanks for being here, Wilson.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me here, Michael. It's nice to talk about something here.
Sure. So I know you're really maybe a little bit nervous, but your English is really great. And I think actually part of our survey we did for Global from Asia was people want to know more about F2C, or fulfill from China, factory to China, and e-commerce from China. And this is what you've been doing for many years. So I think you have a lot of great insights to share. So thanks for being here. Maybe first you could just give a quick introduction of yourself.
Yeah. All right. I'm Wilson Blues. I come from Chaozhou, China. I've been in the e-commerce business industry for over 2 years. And now the market I focus on is Europe and America. Yeah. And the thing that makes me excited about e-commerce is that I can just reach the potential audience directly by cutting off the middleman and offering the valuable stuff to the end customers.
Yeah, we'll talk much more detail. It's really great. I mean, we've known each other for many years, and we met at a Startup Weekend in Shenzhen, where you were first a participant, and you loved it so much that you've been volunteering your time for many other events of Startup Weekend, so thanks for that, too. Maybe first we could explain where your hometown is, called Chaozhou, which is in Guangdong, which is not too far from Hong Kong or Shenzhen. Yeah. Maybe just a little bit of background about it.
Chaozhou is approximately 6 hours from Chaozhou to Hong Kong, to Guangzhou by coach. And Chaozhou is an old city that has a lot of cultural things.
Sure.
And the industries that we are good at include wedding dress and ceramics and the stainless steel stuff like that.
Great. Yeah, I've been to Shantou, which is nearby Chaozhou, right?
Yeah, we were one city before, but now we just separated into a couple of cities.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, do you know the approximate population or how many people?
2 million.
2 million?
I'm not sure, but okay. Approximately.
Still pretty big, right? And it's still still funny to me, and I think a lot of listeners is most cities in, like, you know, in
1 million?
1 million is a lot, so it's this city that is actually kind of considered maybe small in China, is pretty big compared to in Western standards.
Yeah.
Great.
Interesting.
So you did kind of just talk about this a little bit, but about why you picked e-commerce and how you started getting involved.
First of all, I think e-commerce is an effective and efficient way to connect the right products to the right people, cutting off the middleman compared to traditional business. You know, I enjoy my career in this industry. I'm sure that shopping online has been a lifestyle that makes life simple and easy.
Cool, yeah. And we can talk about your business's sandalup.com, right?
Yeah, all right.
And
yeah, that's true.
It's a cool name, and I've given you some advice, and I've helped you a little bit. Not can't take too much credit, but I helped you a little bit with some ideas. And maybe you can just talk about how you kind of picked the name or the brand.
Well, I got much inspiration from the existing brand names online, especially the English-speaking areas. There are so many interesting brand names that combined by two to three terms. Basically, we hope to offer a professional brand awareness to women when it comes to women's footwear or sandals. And randomly, it came to my mind that the compound of sandal and up should be a good option, you know. And we finally decided to take this as our brand name, and we thought it was easier to keep in mind, especially when people, you know, sandal, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so as far as your distribution, you're selling globally, right, worldwide, mostly with eBay, Amazon. Can you maybe share some of your insights about these different channels?
Basically, eBay, prices are a bit cheap.
Yep.
And Amazon, the prices are higher, much higher. And actually, the channels have two different group of people. You know, some people want to buy the stuff that are very cheap.
Yeah.
And they don't care about the shipping time frame. On Amazon, personally, I think that some people still don't know there are third-party merchants on Amazon.
They think it's actually from Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's interesting. But honestly, some merchants are so bad.
Yep.
They offer the very poor quality stuff. And when the customers just receive the stuff, they will be surprised. Like, hey, wow, this is poor, you know. Yeah. In most of the Chinese merchants' mind, they, you know, they want to sell, they just care about the amount, the quantity, I mean. They don't care about the quality.
Mm-hmm.
They can even, you know, just make 10 RMB per, like, the gross profit mm-hmm. per order. Yeah, they accept that.
Yeah.
But they want the quantity.
Yeah, I think from my experience too with Chinese e-commerce sellers, they want huge volume or quantity, and they just want to get big. They want to be the biggest, they don't really think about how much profit they make, but they just want to have a lot of turnover.
Yeah, volume. So this is a way that I call it a factory mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like they sell like a factory instead of a merchant.
This makes me think like MOQ factories, it's like 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get like 1,000 piece order as soon as possible to sell their products.
So overall, I don't think the shopping experience is good.
Mm. Yeah, it's sad, but I think the market's, like we said, we've been talking in the show, the world is, I believe, getting flat, and everyone is learning about all these different cultures and ways of doing business. So thanks for sharing so honestly with that. Merchant accounts is my next question. So, of course, we all use PayPal, But, you know, a lot of times we want to offer other payment solutions. So credit cards, and do you accept credit cards? And maybe you can share some of your the suppliers you use and the experiences.
Yeah, sure. We accept credit cards.
Okay.
And the payment solution we use is, you know, the one called Ocean Payment.
Okay.
And the one called Wiley Payment.
Wiley. Okay.
Yeah. They are like the agency in China. They just work with the outside world payment company.
Okay.
Yeah. And we tend to use as many as possible.
Sure.
Yeah. To minimize the shopping experience.
So the customer won't, they're still just using a regular credit card, but do you change it in your shopping cart, you mean? Or how do you optimize the different payments? When they choose Visa, MasterCard, they wouldn't choose Ocean Payments or Wiley, right? They would.
On the checkout page, they won't see the name I mentioned. They will just see the like Visa or MasterCard, mm-hmm. like that.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have a couple, so how do you change? Do you change it in your systems? You said you want to have multiple, so I'm just curious if how do you choose which one to use? What you change it in the back end? I'll restate it. Like, so you said two different suppliers.
Yeah.
Do you change it in your shopping cart manually, or does it choose which one? How do you choose which one?
It depends on the countries.
Oh, got it. Got it. So it depends on which country.
Yeah. There are a lot of different local payment solutions from different countries, right?
Yeah.
Especially in Europe, like Germany, they use the one called Gino Pay or something like that. Yeah, like in the one in Netherlands, they use Ideal only. Yeah.
Cool. Great. Yeah. And then I know I didn't tell you before this question, but what's normally like the price? Is there a monthly? Is there a setup fee? Monthly fee? Maybe just give us some ideas of the cost.
The one we called account setup fee.
Yep.
It's like 5,000 RMB.
Okay. Which in dollars is almost 1,000 US. Maybe $800 US. Okay. Yeah.
And there is another fee that is called
annual fee. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the same.
Yeah.
5,000 RMB.
Okay. But it's not monthly, it's yearly.
Monthly, we don't have to pay anything. But okay. When there is a new order, we need to pay like 3.5%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the commission fee.
Yeah. They all have the different fees. So
yeah.
Cool. And I know a lot of listeners have been asking me, like, you know, fulfillment from China, you know, to the global market. So maybe you can give some examples of how you fulfill your orders.
Honestly, the shipment issue for overseas has been a big headache in China. We were also looking for good solutions, but very difficult to make everything is perfect, right? And we are also working on the optimizing work, the delivery service suppliers. I mean, I would say delivery time matters so much to buyers, which is one of the factors that the customers care about when making a shopping decision, right? And we tend to see that a faster shipping solution at an affordable level, the cost we can afford. Ultimately, we hope to offer a good shopping experience. And people in the West care much about the cost of the shipping charges.
Sure.
But, it has always had something to do with the shipping frames.
So can you talk about some of the service providers, like the companies that you use? Like, is it Post or is it UPS or FedEx or what kind of companies do you usually use?
The one we use most frequently is DHL.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's, you know, very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then is that put in your product cost or do you pass the cost to the customer? Do they pay for the shipping separate from the product?
Yeah, we make it separate.
Okay.
And we just offer three options for the buyers to pick up.
Okay, great. Do you want to just... I'm sure people are curious. It might sound boring to you, but I think it's cool for people to know which ones you use.
There are three options. The first one is you know, the slowest one, but it's the most popular one, but because it's kind of like $2 or free, even free, you know. But the shipping time frames is like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or 3 weeks, like that.
But it has a tracking number at least, right?
Yeah, some merchants don't offer the tracking numbers, but we do.
Yeah, I think it's better, right? So that customer service questions, you have a tracking number.
Yeah, that's true. And the second one we use is like, we call it like Sino US Express.
Sino US Express, okay.
Like that, but it's the middle price, I mean. Mm. And the shipping time varies from 5 days to 10 days.
And so these are all DHLs?
Sorry?
These are all DHL services?
No, DHL is the third. The most expensive one.
Yeah. Oh, so the first one is like is post? Like
Airmail, like that.
Airmail by China Post, Hong Kong Post, or?
Yeah, the traditional one is Hong Kong Post.
Okay.
Yeah, shipped from Hong Kong.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that has tracking numbers from door to door?
Yeah. Actually, they have two options, the one without tracking number and the one with. Mm-hmm. But we choose the one.
One with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, the customer might want their money back and you can't track it.
Yeah, and on the other hand, that if you have a tracking number, you ensure that you can just, you have the proof that you just shipped the items, right? Because when there is some dispute on PayPal or other payment suppliers, they always need us to provide a proof.
Yeah, exactly. Without a tracking number, you can't fight it.
it is the best way to protect yourself.
Sure. Understand.
Yeah.
Cool. And so the first level is the cheap 2 weeks, which is almost free to $2, which is the Hong Kong Post with tracking.
Yes.
And then the second one is that
Sino US Express.
Is there a company or?
No, actually it's a named by some delivery service companies. Yeah. It has no an official name.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, they have their own channel to ship in a short time and at an affordable price.
Wow. Maybe, I'm sure there's people going to be curious. Is there a website or something we can link to or share it? Or?
Yeah, usually it's the delivery service website.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does it have Sino US is called, what's the name of it?
The Sino? The one I'm using is Yanwen.
Yanwen. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, they just cooperate with the US local companies.
Okay.
Like USPS. You know what I'm
saying? Yep.
Yeah. So it's a forest. Yeah. It's just like Sino US Express, but to the end customers, they can check on the USPS.com.
I got it.
Yeah.
And then what's the normal price? Well, for your products, which are sandals, what's the normal shipping price for that service?
$6.
Okay.
$6 to $7.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it takes like a week or how much time normally?
10 days.
10 days. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit faster than the post.
Yeah, then the AML.
Okay. And then the third is the DHL, which is like fat. It's like 2 or 3 days or what?
Not really.
5 days?
Yeah, 5 days. Three to five days.
3 to 5.
Working days.
Yeah, no weekends or holiday.
Yeah.
And but that has signature signed, right? Receipt too and tracking?
Yeah.
I was thinking the other ones don't have a signature, right?
I have no idea, but because we never care about this, we just, you know, just make sure that the item is delivered and can be checked on the website, DHL.com.
Got it. Okay, well, this is great. So we kind of covered the second, so we're just kind of put those two together, which is the shipping, how do you fulfill your shipments, but actually maybe a little bit more about that. So it's, you know, I think just like everyone, you have your shopping cart system. And then the orders come in and then you print a label and package it. And then you prepare like the courier to pick it up, or do you deliver it to the post office? Maybe just give us an example of how you, a day of orders, your daily order flow.
You know, we use the professional software, and every time when there is a new order, we will have information that can be checked, can be updated to our system, and we just printed the label and just, you know, just prepare the goods and into the package and just add a label on the package.
Okay.
Yeah. And the delivery service will come to our warehouse and pick them up.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't want to put surprise questions, but normally how many packages do you ship a day about or a week, or give it some numbers, or?
You mean the
quantity?
Processing?
How many orders normally you handle per day or per week?
Oh, sorry, I can't tell you this already.
Okay.
Yeah, I was doing the, yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Sorry.
And then, so, you know, I think obviously we're both here in China recording this. Do your customers know or care about being in China or shipping from China? Can you share with us some of that?
According to the website Analytics Fool, I found that most visitors don't visit the About Us page.
Oh, okay.
That means they don't care about where it comes from.
About the history of the company or...
Yeah, they just place an order straight away. And I would say some customers care about where the merchant is located and where the items come from. They're sensitive if they know that it's from China.
Sure.
You know, this is the common issue that people, know that. It's a bit embarrassing, you know.
Yeah.
But personally, I'm confident that the situation is changing day by day. First, we tend to let the customers know our story, which is part of brand awareness. Yeah, we just build a wonderful About Us page. I just want to make the people know that who we are and why send the blood like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, confidence, because we offer the premium quality only.
Yeah, you've done a great job. And you're building a brand, and I think a lot of Chinese sellers should learn more from you. You've always been really keeping up with the Western marketing strategies and branding, and you've done a really great job. So going forward, you know, we're going into the new year as we record this. What's some of the challenges you can share that you've gone through?
I would say the biggest challenge is to make effective marketing campaigns that can reach the right audience. Because, you know, we are Chinese, and the language and the cultural understanding are the factors that make us difficult to start campaigns. And on the other hand, we need to just be different, be unique from the crowd. We want to stand out from the crowd. So a lot of items on the marketplace are the same, right? Are the same designs, similar designs, similar quality. But how to make us stand out different from the crowd?
Clear.
It's a big challenge. So it's about a position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Positioning, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still working on it.
I think you're actively working on it, which is great. And you're thinking, reviewing it. And I have some ideas we can talk about after, too. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of similar to challenges, but what's your like long term or your expansion plans for the new year and long term?
We are looking for potential business partners or distributors from over the world.
Cool.
Hoping to establish the local web stores in most countries like Europe and South America like that.
Awesome. Yeah. Maybe some listeners can contact you about that.
Yeah, we're looking for the distributors.
Cool.
Always.
Awesome.
Yeah, who are interested in our projects and are able to do the marketing things.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So how can people reach out to you and maybe email or how would you like them to contact you if they're interested?
Just visit our website, sendola.com.
Okay.
And the contact page.
Contact page. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I'll link it up on the show notes too, so people can check it out and can go there. So
thank you.
Thanks, Wilson. You did a great job, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Wilson, for coming on the show. I know you were nervous by your English, but I think it was great, and I know listeners are surely got some value from it. If you guys want to thank Wilson for me, that would be cool. Reach out to him on the show notes or his email and other contact details. And that's pretty cool. So Also, let me know. I mean, I could get more Chinese business people on the show. Sometimes it's hard, of course, with a language barrier and, you know, different topics. So I'm always listening to user feedback for my businesses as well as this podcast. And that's really what sends the direction of the show. Also, you know, we have about 1,000 listeners now every week, which is pretty cool. And, you know, people always say they like the show and they want to support. I think the best way that we can support the show is to leave an iTunes review on Apple. I know some people might listen on iTunes, but if they can figure it out, I've had some listeners that really had trouble figuring out their system. But if you could do that, I'm told by the you know, the other podcasters that having reviews on iTunes is the best way to get more people to find the show and listen and get value. So if you guys really could spend some time, maybe 5-10 minutes to get that going, I'd really appreciate it. I know there's other podcasters that give kind of like prizes and stuff. I don't really like doing that, and I even don't like asking for it on the show, but that is the best way to help get more people to find it and get value. So thanks, Scott, and we'll see you guys next week.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.